The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning with us. This morning we have a really important topic, and I don't think it can be covered in one show, but we're going to do our best, and maybe we can have him back on in the future. But I want to welcome Save the Morgan Street representatives here, and we have two special guests, Susie O'Kane, and a great gentleman who I'm going to think of his name right here, so I'm sorry, so we're going to get it right now. Okay, and we got David Holte. Is that correct?
It's Dennis.
Okay, Dennis. I'm sorry, Dennis. I know we had to do that quick. But anyway, my first question is going to be to Susie. And I want you to explain a little bit what you're doing here this morning.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting us and giving us this forum in which to kind of get our message out. I've been in Saratoga. I bought my home here in 2005. Sorry. Anyway, and the reasons this is all about Birch Run and the hospital infringement, for lack of a better word, on some property that is adjacent to all of us. So what happened is, you know, it's like a pre-retirement community, and it's kind of where people go when they want to downsize and they don't want to have all the responsibility. So it's suited that need, and we've had some wonderful people live in there through the years and still do. Who in their right mind would ever imagine that when you bought in there, that at this point in your life, you would be facing losing half your equity in your house? And for those people that don't have a lot of money in investments or whatever, their home is their big investment. Mm-hmm. So now it's time to move out and go into some sort of assisted living or whatever, and people are counting on cashing out with their real estate, their home here, to provide that income. And now we find out that we could take a 50%, it's all subjective at this point, but a 50% hit on your value. Our equity.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the hospital, I mean, I know the hospital does a lot of great things, and obviously we need it here. And I think this community has supported the hospital unbelievably. And even the equine community, the fundraisers, I mean, everybody's for the hospital. But it's so hard for me to believe that they don't understand how we feel living in a residential neighborhood and all of a sudden it's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that fair? I mean, from what I understand, it's never happened here. So why
now? Well, I know. I understand. And I just want to let our listeners know you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And the number in the studio, if you want to call and ask a question, 518-580-5783. And you can direct your questions to Dennis or Susie or both of them. I want to ask you first. I know, Dennis, you got a lot of technical information that we really want to get into, but I know Susie just said, you know, when she thought when she moved here, this would never happen. But you know what? I bought my house in 1986. My wife is from Saratoga, and I never thought Saratoga would ever get to the point that it is now. I mean, that city in the country is no more. I mean, there are no terms for city in the country. Did you think that your area would ever be zoned other than residential?
Never.
Okay.
No, I actually looked at the property before I bought it, and I went and looked at the tax maps, and I made sure that everything around it was residential, including the property that it's going to develop. In fact, that was going to be phase three and four of Birch Run. And in phase three, they did build apartments instead. They're called Park Place Apartments. They're very nice apartments. They're off the street. The garages are behind the back. They fit into the neighborhood. There are other apartments on Seward Street there. But who I really feel bad for, even though I do live in Birch Run, is the persons on Morgan Street and the east side of Myrtle Street and all of Woodland Court. There's about 22 homes in there. They were all built in from 1967 to 73. They're ranch-style, split-level homes with families in there. They're all owned and occupied. And they're being surrounded by the hospital with this project. They are going to be literally an island unto themselves of single-family residences. Now, they were built in 67, 73. That's almost 45, 50 years ago. So how long does a house have to exist before you feel you're safe? And basically, what about their rights? They're even worse off than the Birch Run residents. They're going to be decimated there. It's not beyond the reach to think that those people will start selling at a loss, that they may just become investment properties, they'll become rental properties, and that neighborhood will decline from a vibrant single-family neighborhood of homes.
Now, you know, you had mentioned about the hospital. The hospital kind of demeans you and kind of like they refer to you as kind of a kooky group of people, correct?
Whiners,
yes. And it's, you know, I can't believe. I mean, it's, they tell, they've said at meetings and in the newspaper, you know, dismiss the residents' concerns. I mean, they're just complainers. And to me, that's not a good neighbor. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, they don't want you to exist, it
no.
seems.
Well, Rick, when we go to city council meetings, and we all were very active in the spring and early summer, and it was like we and them. So we're on one side of the room, and they're on the other. And I mean, there is no, you just feel the tension. And I'm sitting there looking, and I think, now, wait a minute. We're supposed to look at some of these same people because they had doctors and everything saying how great it was that they were, what they were going to plan on doing by having them be so close to the hospital. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, how would I feel? I mean, I'm not saying or accusing or anything, but it's kind of hard to have that animosity in the room and then have to go there on medical reasons and kind of not remember that, you
right.
know? So I don't think it's a goodwill venture.
No. And Dennis, I promise you've got so much information that we're going to get into this, but I, you know, you had mentioned that about the doctors. You have the hospital where it is right now on Church Street. Right down the road, you have a cardiology specialist, which probably has 15 or 17 top-notch cardiologists there. You have orthopedic offices that have probably a dozen or so top-notch orthopedic doctors and surgeons in it. You have one of the best surgeons in the world right down the road, and Dr. Starnes. And they're hooked in with Albany Med. The other way, you have a you have bone specialist. You have a urology specialist. I mean, they have you have One West, which has almost every medical field that you can believe in it. I mean, I don't understand the need to put such a large building up for offices when they say that it's going to be great to have all these doctors in one place. I mean, you can walk to the hospital from these doctors' offices. I mean, do you agree with this?
Totally.
Yeah. We agree with that, and basically, you know, like I feel that they're trying to do it on the cheap. That this land is being given to them at a really good bargain by D.A. Collins Construction Company. Their father passed away. I assume that they're probably going to put the father's name on the office medical building, which is their right. And you know, we're not against the hospital. I mean, when I'm retired law enforcement 25 years. I moved to Saratoga Board here in 2009. One of the reasons I moved to Saratoga and picked the location because it was its proximity to the hospital, but it wasn't going to be a parking lot in my backyard in my view. It was an open field. It was supposed to be phase four of Birch Run, and then they went and changed the Matt Jones, the attorney for the hospital, the land use planning attorney, snuck it in through the comprehensive plan, where no notice had to be given to the neighbors. So yeah. if they wanted to build a fence, if D.A. Collins wanted to build a fence on that property, they would have had to notice everybody within 100 feet of that property. If you want to change the whole master plan and go from residential to institutional, which means hospital, education, and religious, you don't have to notice anybody. He knew that, and they did that. It was never mentioned on any of the agendas for the Comprehensive Plan Committee. They gave it to the city council. City council had four workshops on it and notices. They never placed it on any of the agendas. And then they passed it. However, they did place two parcels on their agenda. One was Saratoga National Golf Course was a change for the master plan that the committee of developers in 2014 recommended to the city in 2015. And it was to put a resort on the Saratoga National Golf Course.
Right.
And people came out in droves to protest against it. The other one was called the DeAndrea parcel. That was on the agenda. People came out in droves to protest against it. Both of them failed in front of the city council. Not once was anywhere was there a mention of the hospital. Although all three parcels, one is one that was donated by the Decress Mackey property family to the hospital, and then the other two are the D.A. Collins property, which they since purchased, was ever mentioned. It's only for one entity. It's for the hospital. It's not for different, for the neighborhood or different people to develop. They never put it on there. They knew it. It was a loophole. And then they went and they did a planned unit development amendment, because the hospital is a planned unit development. And they paid over $2,500. Again, Matt Jones and Angela Carbone signed off on it, and they want to put 42 residences along the golf course, which is the green belt for Saratoga.
Right.
And they want to put an 88,000 square foot, 300 space parking lot on a residential street in a residential neighborhood in Morgan Street across from those buildings that were built in 1967. And they did this all before notifying the neighbors and two of the city council persons. One was Mayor Joanne Yepsen. And Christmas Eason was shocked when they saw that site plan. The gall to put a 88,000 square foot piece of property on a residential Morgan Street, meanwhile reserving 42 residences, presumably for a teaching hospital in conjunction with Albany Med on the golf course, was beyond the pale.
Right. Now, all this is tax-free. We lose taxed property to a tax-free because they're exempt,
right.
And but the city has to provide the services for them, the water and the sewer. So the taxpayer is picking up another tab and making up that tax money that was lost. And the 42 residences, which should be taxed that aren't going to be, gets a golf course view, while you people get a parking lot and street light views, right?
Correct.
Well, some of the homes are actually, their property is like within 20 feet of their deck, so that the infringement is unbelievable. One piece of property, it actually cuts somebody's driveway in half. Half is would be theirs, and half is theirs. It does not seem well thought out at all. I mean, this is a small town.
Yeah.
And this town is a great town, and I can remember years ago, there was a magazine, a very chic magazine, that said, referred to Saratoga as potentially the Aspen of the East. Not because of skiing, but just because quality of life and whatever.
And location.
But the people in charge of this town, whatever you are, who are you responsible for? If it isn't the citizens, then is it just
for
them?
The developers or contractors?
I mean, it's like, and one other thing I want to add before we forget this, The property itself, that's in the Birch Run piece, mm-hmm. that was Gideon Putnam's farm.
Right.
Now, and that's property. Been proven. The historical people have checked it out, and from what I understand, that's really the truth. And we can't imagine why, because on the west side there's very little green space left, and certainly that is one of the last spots. Why in the heck doesn't that matter?
Well, you know, if you have a house that is deemed historical, you cannot do anything with the house unless you get city approval. You can't tear it down and build new. If you want to change the windows, you have to go to court to fight. I live on the west side, and around the corner from me, they're building more condominiums. They're building all those apartment buildings, I think, 180 or something, next to the post office. And one of the things that I read, and this might be minor to some people, but to me it isn't. You said it displaces wildlife, and I want to tell you something. Since they ripped down the woods in both of those areas, I have deer walking up the middle of my street in a housing development, looking for a place to go. I mean, deers, you get the skunks, you get groundhogs, everything. They're displacing animals, and they have nowhere to go except in the residences. I mean, this is terrible. Saratoga has gotten so growth crazy that they're using every piece of green. I said if there's a postage stamp size of green lawn, they're going to build something up on that postage size stamp. But you're right about the historic value of this area, and that's gone by the boards. Now, I do want to mention, you had mentioned and alluded to the fact that the council does not represent the citizens. They don't stand behind the citizens in any way. And we talked about Matt Jones, and, you know, because he is a land use attorney, but that's his forte, and zoning changes. He held a very large fundraiser for Commissioner Madigan, and developers and contractors and I call them the big wigs of Saratoga, the Ruins, the Waits. I mean, she garnered probably $28,000, $29,000 in that area for a fundraiser for her run for office this year. And the people at the, you know, they were all contractors, developers, and it was held at Matt Jones's home. And now Matt Jones is a nice guy. I'm not saying anything, you know, about that. He's doing his job, basically. But I think when you leave citizens out of the equation when you're elected official, that's pretty sad. And I think that just how our government operates, the form of government we have, they leave people out.
Well, Rick, and the scenario is saying that they all, the real galling thing to us, and again, you know, is the notice provisions. There were notice provisions in the law that you said you had to give public notice before that comprehensive plan change. And they did not give public notice. They had workshops, but they never put it on the agenda. Is anybody in this audience going to go to a city council meeting or a workshop on the comprehensive plan change if it's not on their published agenda for that night, you know?
Or put in the paper to citizens aware.
If you've gone to them, and I've gone to several since this has occurred, I've gone back in February of 2016 when Chris Mathiesen, the public safety commissioner, and Mayor Yepsen, you know, knocked this bill down along with Frank. The only ones left from there that are in favor for it are Skip Scirocco of Public Safety and Michelle Madigan of Finance, and presumably Mayor Meg Kelly are in favor of this. And they also, along with the city attorney, Vince DeAngelis, I asked them to show me, I emailed them, I went on the city website, I went to their archived records, I print out every single agenda for every meeting from the Comprehensive Plan Committee and from the City Council. There was never any mention of changing the comprehensive plan from residential to institutional for those three parcels for the hospital's benefit.
You know, you had mentioned propositions that the city had turned down in the past, and one of them you mentioned was Tom Newkirk, who's building 59 apartments, micro apartments on a 3/4 acre plot of property in Saratoga on Broadway, which is crazy. But you know, his deal at the time, now that golf course and restaurant are outside the city, and he was willing to give property to the city for nothing to build a Eastern Plateau Fire and Ambulance Department. And that would have been a very nice situated property. And the city turned that down. And then they were arguing about, ever since then, I mean, for 15 years, we need an ambulance and fire department on the Eastern Plateau. Well, they had the property for one, and they denied it because they didn't want that building out there, which seems now kind of two-faced, you know? They're willing to destroy neighborhoods, but on property that's outside the city, and that would only have been a drop in the acreage out there because he owns quite a few acres. It just seems to fly in the face of decency, I mean, in all honesty. I want to give our phone number out again in case you want to call and ask a question, 518-580-5783. 518-580-5783. That's our studio number, and you can ask Dennis or Mrs. O'Kane, Susie, any question that you'd like, because they're very well versed in this. What do you think? What do you think that the scope of this? We got a caller, so we're going to take this question. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. This is Greg.
Hi, Greg. Hi. How are you?
Hey, good. How you doing, Rick? You have
good,
a nice
thanks.
Summer?
I did. I worked at the track, and I saw Susie O'Kane there and her husband, Doc, almost every day, and it was a great summer.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, I just wanted to chime in here. I wanted to play devil's advocate and
sure.
And just pose a few thoughts here relative to this matter, if I could. One is, I go down to Florida now. I just started doing that, and I noticed down there what they've done with the malls. As up here, the malls have sort of emptied out. If you go out to the Saratoga Mall, it's largely a ghost town out there.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Florida, they're filling them with doctor's offices.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the population down there that needs it, and there's a space. And, you know, just the misutilization of buildings is endemic. I mean, buildings are built to be taken down in 20 years. And all this modern construction, all these high-rises, all these new commercial buildings, they're all wood-frame buildings now. And it's all because of cost. They can put them in because they sprinkler them. And, these buildings, you and I know, are not going to last, and the builders know are not going to last. So we're, a throwaway society. That's just one comment.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what happened to landowner rights? And I'm just saying this as the devil's advocate because basically I'm sympathetic to what the conversation is here. But as a landowner, you have to get permission from all your neighbors. I live out in a rural area, and this is another complaint here also with the way our society is structured. I'm able to have a large piece of acreage here for less money than I could in the city. So I'm going to live out in the country, have this big urban sprawl on large piece of acreage, and I'm, saving trees and so forth and have homes for animals. But, I can do that because the way our economy is structured. So in my mind, the planners are saying people should live in urban centers. So if they live in urban centers like a city like Saratoga, then the population is going to be denser there, and that would leave open space for the farms and all that we all crave. So, there's some contradicting points here that I'm bringing up, but I think they all enter into this. And as a landowner, and as those folks are landowners, I mean, we all want to have our rights, but when someone else is exercising their rights, then all of a sudden it's, not in my backyard. So, we're all guilty of that. So I just wanted to bring up a few thoughts like that.
Well, I'm glad you did, but I want to ask you one question, too, or make some points on your topics here, Greg. You said that they're putting offices in malls and in other large buildings. Most of them have good parking, too.
Right.
So you can utilize different things. The second, in our area, we're blessed with a good hospital, good doctors, but there's also large facilities like the Wilton Medical Center, the Malta Medical Center, that have specialists in them. I mean, they're not just, you know, one doctor practitioners. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that I don't think you have to be right on top of the hospital to have a good office. Like we said before, there's so many specialist offices around the hospital right now that I don't know what they're crying about, you know. So
yeah. Well, you know, and to their defense, I mean, I see how, you know, commercial development creeps out like on Route 9, and then you see abandoned houses, and you wonder what's going on. It's a perfectly good house, and then a Cumberland Farm springs up on there, you know, a year later or whatever, after a beautiful home was abandoned.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it is like commercial trumps the residents, and in this case, what sort of clouds it is, this is the good neighbor, though. This is the neighbor that we all need, so...
I know.
How are we going to bite the hand that's going to take care of us?
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is an interesting topic, and I can see from both sides, you know, their complaints. But it's like, and what similar one was the solar panels down where the parking garage. I see the parking garage has got approved, so it must be the restaurant who was against the solar panels has been placated.
I think they had to be, actually. I mean, you know, after a while, the money. As citizens goes, that's one of the reasons why citizens end up losing everything, because you only have a limited amount of money.
Right.
Where you get somebody like the hospital and that, they've got unlimited resources. So, you know, that. But that's what you need, good council people, good people that represent you to help you. And unfortunately, in Saratoga, we don't have that. So and we talked about that before the show, and we'll get into it a little bit more. But hey, thanks for calling, Greg. It's always
one other point, because this was sort of a pet peeve in my neighborhood. I live in a rural area, and there's a family that's lived out here for generations. They owned the piece of land that the grandma owned, and you know, one of the sons was going to build a house there. So he goes and he starts cutting trees, clear cutting the lot, which is, you know, there's nothing illegal about that. You know, but people get used to seeing the trees there. So I heard there was all sorts of uproar, people complaining that he was cutting trees. Well, whose piece of land is it? You know, who owns it? Who's owned it? And who are these new people coming in complaining?
That's
right.
You know,
what right do they have to tell you what you can do with your land?
That's right. You know? Well, you know what? Landowners don't have the rights we think we do.
No, when it comes to city government. That's the reality. So, I mean, that would get anybody teed off, including, you know, the people sitting there. You know, so, I mean, it is a complex and two-faced issues in a lot of ways for all of us.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, it's always great hearing from you, Greg, and hope you, when you go to Florida, you still listen to the show on the Internet. So.
Oh, yeah, I will. Good.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, he made a lot of good comments.
He did.
I mean, we have so much property. Well, this is one of the topics that I wanted to talk to you about. There were other alternatives that the hospital could have chosen from also, and they chose not to utilize what they have now, or property that is on their campus that could have been used for this proposal that they're doing. And Greg made that point, you know, underutilization of buildings that they could use and property they already own on their campus that they could have used. So how do you address that?
Well, I agree with Greg that there is a tinge of not in my backyard aspect to this that keeps on coming up, and the hospital exploits that well against us. However, as we tried to explain, this was residential property. We fully expected to a residential complex to be put in there, like another Birch Run or even the apartments like at Park Place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue. We knew this property was going to be developed. We thought it was going to be developed residentially. And they went around and did this change, and they did this change using a loophole and underhanded. And the galling thing that I really want to say is that the city council and the hospital, they come out with You Can Trust the Hospital campaign. Well, that is double galling, because that's putting salt in the wound, because they never noticed anybody before they did all these changes. They never noticed anybody before they changed the
contract.
They
never notified anybody.
They never noticed. They never even showed the plans for the site plan after they got the property changed over to institutional to the city council members like Chris Mathewson or Mayor Yepsen. Mm-hmm. It was a shock when they saw that, much less telling the neighbors. And then they had to notice the neighbors on it, and it got knocked down in 2016 because enough neighbors got together and signed a petition forcing that 4 out of 5 city council people would have to vote against
a super majority.
And it failed. So Greg was right when it's a little bit not my backyard. And I'm a little conflicted because I'm not against the hospital, but I ask anybody who has a computer or a smartphone, go to Google Maps, go to Church Street and Myrtle Street, and look at the aerial view, the satellite view of the hospital. They currently have 30 acres, and 20 of it is flat parking lots, and only 10 of it is buildings. The city has let them get away with this when in their review, and they have chosen to do this because it's cheap. It looks more like the Wilton Mall than it looks like your typical hospital when you go to Albany or when you go to Glens Falls, which builds up. Mm-hmm. So they can very easily build up there instead of building in a residential neighborhood and putting 88,000 square foot, another 300 space parking lot there, plus another 100 for the staff, the doctors and the personnel. Now, also, the Church Street campus is also Route 29 and Route 9. It's truck Route 29. You look at it, it's pretty wide. You look at Morgan Street, it is narrow. And they're going to have all those parking spots and all those offices back there. And it's just the traffic lights are going to have to put in. Roads are going to have to be widened. It's going to just, and again, look at those single-family homes. Not even Bertrand. Look at the single-family homes that are going to be captured between Morgan Street and the Church Street campus. Those houses are going to be an island unto themselves.
Well, yep. And the roads are so tiny, it's very hard for two cars to navigate now.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen? They're going to have to use some eminent domain or whatever to go into the front yards to make these roads. The infrastructure, we've had former city planners tell us that the infrastructure is going to be incredibly challenging, and that as residents in that area, we have no idea what's coming ahead of us because it's going to be way too much for a small area. I'm not an engineer, but even I can figure that out.
Right. And one of the other things is that, you know, you have to take into consideration, and I'm going to write this down because my memory is... Morning, caller.
My concern is I wish everybody in the city was listening to your program because they would throw all the bums out. They really would. You just don't get the coverage that you really should talking about a program like this. One of the things that really bothers me that's going on here in the city is where is the open space people? Why are they silent on this? Why aren't they helping this neighborhood out?
Well, you're 100% right. You know, as we said before with Greg, you know, the hospital has unlimited resources. And they have I'm sure that the builders and contractors on their side to give the money on these social events they have. But when you get neighborhood groups, like the restaurant and the city parking garage or the Morgan Street group, the area group, they have a limited resource amount. So you would think that you could depend on your city officials to help you out. Or the organizations like maybe even Sustainable Saratoga or, you know, as you said, where are they? You don't hear anything about it. And
if this was up on the east side of the city, especially when they dealt with that exit 14, everybody turned out to stop that on the east side. But nobody wants to step in and help the people over here on the west side.
No, they don't. And it's sad. And, I know you were involved in a lot of making the city from what it was back in the 60s and 70s, and it got a lot of civic people behind you, because you could see that the city was going to expand, and my feeling is because of the Northway exits.
It made it easy for people to get into these towns and areas off of the Northway, Clifton Park and Saratoga and Wilton. I mean, have all built up because of easy access. But I think Saratoga had the foresight in doing it in a gradual way. And we had a great city, I think, back in the 80s and the 90s. And I think after then, we just started to grow so much that...
Well, you had great discussions at the city council back then, too, when various commissioners would debate one another. You don't have that today. They're all in bed together, and the contractors, as you see, and you talked about Matt Jones having the fundraiser for Commissioner Madigan, I just wish more of that information got out to the public, because they certainly would be throwing all these bums out.
Well, I hope they would, because as we were talking before, you got like the three people that now control. I mean, Madigan and Scirocco pretty much vote as one block. And now with the mayor, who was supposed to be against this before she got elected, seems to be gravitating now to the side of those two. So that will give the majority vote to them. And I think it's sad that, number one, it's not out there more. The press doesn't cover it near enough, because the coverage that the city gets is much more in the hospital. But more people should become involved in this, because you know what? What happens if it happens in your neighborhood? I know Greg alluded to the fact not in my backyard, but what happens if it happens in your neighborhood and nobody cares? You know, I mean...
Well, that's for sure. There's no question, Rick. The problem is we don't have a newspaper anymore. There's no reporters. They're all working part-time. You're not getting the coverage. You're not writing the stories about the things that are really happening here. And it really is sad.
You're right. I mean, more people depend on the Internet, and not everybody enjoys getting news from the Internet. So,
well, thanks for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate your call, and just get the word out about the show. We're a community show, and I hope more people listen to us as we go on. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, you had a lot of good information there, and a concern from a citizen, and I think there are ways to get more the word out more, and we'll talk about this after, because we did this when we were going for the change of government. There's things you can do.
Well, can I mention one thing?
Yeah, you can mention anything.
The other galling thing is that if you go to the city website, they actually added a web page that has a fact question, a fact sheet for the hospital expansion.
Okay.
There is nothing there for Morgan Street neighbors opposing it. And this is really curious. We're still fighting it. We have an attorney. Everybody had to reach into their pockets. Not only did we have to start going to city council meetings to fight this because it was never advertised and we found out about it, we had to reach into our pockets for a private attorney to fight it. And meantime, we'd rather just be home watching NFL football or something.
That's right.
But the other thing is that they have a website that it goes to the hospital PR person to answer the question, not to the city planning department.
Sure.
How in bed is that?
Hold on, caller. No, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. You have limited resources both in the news and in that. But we have a caller. So good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. It's Dave Evans. I'm a neighbor. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Dave. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate you bringing this topic to light here, and I'm, been listening carefully to all the well-thought comments that you've made and the other callers and Dennis and Susie have made. And I guess the one thing that I just wanted to mention that maybe you've already talked about, we came on a little bit late.
That's okay.
What concerns me, is, and I concur with everything that everyone has said, what really concerns me, which is obviously the political bent of this, is that everyone knows that this zoning change is being made for one entity, the hospital. And everyone supports the hospital. No one's against the hospital. But everyone knows that the zoning change is being made for the hospital. Mm-hmm. So as a neighbor, as a resident, wouldn't or as a city council member, wouldn't I demand to know what the hospital's plans were?
Well, you would think.
But when you talk to the mayor or the city council or the attorney, they look at you and say, well, we don't have any plans. We don't know what they're going to do. So how could they possibly represent the interests of the city and the city residents by making a zoning change in a residential neighborhood without knowing exactly what's going there? It just seems counterintuitive to the whole process, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on that.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. And if you think of another one, give us a call again, okay?
We'll do it. I appreciate your attention to the matter.
All right. Thank you. Well, one of the things, and I know you can address this too, but my thought on that is there is something you can do in November, is elect new representatives if the representatives that are supposed to be doing that now aren't representing you. Why keep electing the same people every 2 years if they're not representing the citizens? And another question that I have for you, now they're building apartments, which we need workforce housing, but I don't believe that the housing they're building next to the post office is going to be that inexpensive for our tourist service people. Why couldn't they build that over there? I mean, you could build a mega complex over there, and you got the post office next door. You got nothing on the other side of you. Seems to me that would have been a perfect place to build a mega complex.
Well, I would think the hospital, being always thought of and certainly is, where they'd probably care as much about humanity and the well-being of it as any other institution. So it would seem to me, given their capacity to be to serve the community in the right way with our health and everything, wouldn't you think that it would, like Dave just said, don't you think that would be logical that we'd have a seat at the table and know what's going on, since this affects us dearly? I'm telling you, when we go to these city planning meetings, they look at us. This is me now talking. I may not be speaking to anybody else, but this is how I feel. They look at us with like we're just a nuisance to them, like we don't matter and our opinions don't matter. And even when we try to, you know, say what we want to say and everything, you can just feel the hostility. It's them and us. So then a week later, you break your arm and you go to the hospital and you see these same guys and you go, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this isn't good for any community.
Well,
it
we
really
have.
Isn't.
No, it isn't.
And they always bring up this thing. Oh, we need to be close to the hospital. The doctors need to be close to the hospital. Well, guess what? No one in this town is far from the hospital.
Right.
I mean, this is a small town, respectively. And it that's not even, I don't think that's an argument.
And you have medical centers enough around the area that if it's really dire, they'll transport you down. You can get there easily out in Wilton, out in Malta, in Saratoga. But you want to know something? How to change this? And I am a proponent of changing the form of government. But you change the form of government to a representative one.
Yeah.
Because if you sit at a meeting, you get yelled at by a commissioner. And we've put some things up on a Facebook page where she'll say, if I never hear from you again, that'll make me happy. Screaming it out to a citizen at a council meeting. This is how you're represented today. And you say you go and they don't hear you. They only hear one. They'll make judgments based on one side. And this is why.
Well, Greg, if I could talk to that, the political end of it, you make a good point. Like, I came from Jersey back in 2009. I came up here. But there we had a ward system in my town, and mm-hmm. it was great. You had a councilman, and if they did a bad job, you could at least elect him out. But he or she would be obligated to come to you and say, hey, this is going on in your neighborhood. Last time around in 2016, Chris Mathiesen was that person for us on the town council, just because his father owned a unit in Birch Run. So that was the only reason. And we, like we said, we're not against residential units in that. The hospital wants to build. A lot of people don't know that the hospital on that plan unit development amendment, in addition to this building, everybody knows about this building. Nobody knows about the 42 residences they want to build along the golf course. Build the 42 residences along Morgan Street. No, we're not against that.
Right.
So everybody is saying we're against the hospitals. That's not 100% true. And also, the whole idea is, the hospital goes around and says, you can trust the hospital. Again, I'm from law enforcement. That would be like your broker or your banker saying, you can trust me.
Yeah.
It says, like, why would they say that? You don't, unless it's projection, unless you're saying they're trying to hide something. Right. I'm telling you, the hospital's only telling you half the story here, and we're trying to tell the other half, and you're correct. And I was a little surprised, but when Patty Morrison won the Democratic primary against Michelle Madigan, I said, oh, my God, there must be a lot of other people besides the people on Woodland Court, on Morgan Street, on Myrtle Street, on, you know, in Bertrand that are against this. Yeah, of course, I would vote against it. My wife would vote against it. Maybe we could talk a friend or two, but who knew that that would happen? This is not an election, presidential election year. There's no, you know, representative seats coming. It's going to be a light election. It's very possible to unseat these people.
Yep. You have to get out and talk to you as citizens, or we as citizens have to get out and talk about this and the other part of getting representatives in office. And I mean, you know, you have a chance. You've got choices this election for every spot. So there's no reason why representatives that will side with citizens or represent citizens can't be elected into office. And if they're not, then that's another glaring problem about this form of government and why the people keep getting elected and why the same people are on boards of Chamber of Commerce and the planning boards and the all the community-run boards. It's because they want it their way. And there is a way to change that. And as you said, let's get a ward system in. Every area can have their own voice on the council. Now, people get tired of hearing me say this, I'm sure. My father was a councilman for 12 years in the city I grew up in, Gloversville. And that's when Gloversville was really great. But he had town meetings before every council meeting down in the church hall. Because the church was in his ward, in the first ward. So citizens could go down and ask him questions about how he's going to represent them on the topics that were coming up at the meeting. So he got citizens' input and had it in his head by the time he went to the meeting. Here, you don't. You have 2 minutes to talk before a council meeting, and then zip, you're done.
Well, I think the biggest problem I think we face is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about it at the track many times this summer because I was catching up with friends and whatever, and they know nothing about this. And do you want me to wait?
Keep that thought, because we want to get other people's opinions on here, so we'll take this caller. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hey, Rick. It's Nancy Muldoon.
Hi, Nancy.
Great show, provocative subject matter, and I understand, you know, everybody's frustration regarding, you know, mainstream media, you know, reporters are up against a lot. I have an independent media site right now that I just started. It's called Saratoga Field Day, and you can look me up on saratogafieldday.com. I'm certainly happy to write about this issue. And, you know, I don't take advertising money from the hospital. So I think that's the other issue is, you know, all these newspapers usually take money from the hospital. So, you know, they're not going to be writing, you know, anti-hospital things. And like, you know, one of your guests there said, nobody's anti-hospital. Everybody's for the hospital. But you can't just take people's houses down. And like I said, I'm happy to write about this issue. And, you know, if you just want to give me a call later or email me, I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Well, what I will do, Nancy, is I will give Dennis and Susie your telephone number. And you can get a hold of them, because I know you've got a great site. You've done a lot of good interviews so far, and keep up the good work. But you'll be able to get in with them and get the word out, too. That's what they need. They need people like you and like others to talk and get conversation going. So I would appreciate that, and I know they would, too. I mean, definitely. So
thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. So we just got a new venue for you, see?
Oh, boy,
and
how great was she?
She's a great writer, too, and she has a very, website is getting a lot of awareness. So
to be listening to us and understanding what we're trying to say and call and say, I want to help,
yeah,
that's a very... It good is. Neighbor to have.
518-580-5783. 518-580-5783. If you're listening. Yeah, and
Dave, but if I could say, it's like really sad yeah. that you have to think about it, that we have to really think about and work towards unseating our elected officials because we're not getting a fair shake or even treated.
But it may not only be you. It may be that they're not being receptive to other citizens about other topics. But certainly, if the other people that are running for are interested in your topic, that would make your area be more attuned to getting them in office. Now, people around the city may not feel that way, but that's how you start out. I mean, you need representatives.
Getting the word out is the most important part. I think we've been... many times we've had the newspaper ready to do something, and the story's been killed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know what we're facing. I mean, it's pretty obvious yeah. what we're facing. And for the citizens in the community, in this whole town, not being aware of it. Somebody said at one of our meetings that a former a planning board member. That we have to remember hospitals are in the real estate business now.
Mm-hmm. They are. One other thing that I wanted to talk to you that I think is a concern to the homes in that area is that they'll be blasting over there. And that's going to be a potential to damage some of the structures over there. What's your feeling about that?
Oh, can I say something?
Sure.
D.A. Collins, the older gentleman who mm-hmm. passed away, when he built Birch Run, there's a big area in the middle and that was not developed. And one of the gentlemen who lives there, who spoke to him about this, said, why didn't you build in there? Because they call it the parade ground. It's just a big area where he could have built a lot more units. And he said, because there's bedrock this far down, and he said, I'd go crazy. The amount of blasting just to get what he did build mm-hmm. was amazing. And all of our homes are just, it's this bedrock, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, and let me, I don't know if we said this, but we have deer and all kinds of wildlife where we are, beautiful trees, whatever. Somebody did a random check of checking trees that were at least 20 years old that would be brought down. There'd be like 200 trees. So this is going to be a genocide of a neighborhood and what we like as mm-hmm. in our neighborhood. We like trees.
Why you moved up here.
We like animals. We like all that. We don't want to live with asphalt. And for gosh sakes, instead of taking up hundreds of acres for these parking lots, why don't they build the parking building? And it none of it makes any sense to me. But I do think that the blasting and all the infrastructure work and everything, as somebody said, the former city planner, one of the city planners said, you have no idea what you're in for. This is going to be incredibly hard for you to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Because the streets are tiny. It's hard to navigate
sure,
out there.
Sure.
And now we're going to bring all that in?
Yes, I know. Dennis, do you have a thought on that?
I know when they put in the Park Place apartments, they had to do minimal blasting, and the people along Seaward Street had foundation problems. And that was approved and by the city. Basically, you know, to get back to the whole idea of the political aspect, what I was getting at, it's kind of sad that you have to, now not only do we have to hire an attorney and stuff, but we have to work to unseat these people politically because it's the only way that you get their attention.
Right.
And I'm not even too sure we got Michelle Manigan's attention. Now she has to go for the Working Families Party. It's like, and the Democratic Committee, the half of them resigned.
Right.
You know?
Because she lost and they
want to still support her.
Yeah.
Even though the voters in the primary said, we want her out.
Right.
So even the Democratic Party is a little thing.
Republican Party will never put anybody up against her.
This is sad, you know, because it shouldn't be that way. It should be that they should be able to listen to us. We shouldn't have to just fight City Hall and the hospital and all this. It's like, it's very frustrating for us. And
well,
we just want people to know that we don't like being the squeaky wheel, but no.
And, oh, you have to.
And it's just that we're here in the middle of a desert.
Right.
And when you talk about the news blackout on this, I wrote letters to every single board member on the City Hospital, the Saratoga Hospital and Saratoga Foundation. And I found out a lot by Googling each member. And then I drilled down. First of all, Matt Jones was president of the Chamber of Commerce at one time.
Right.
The president of the hospital, Angelo Carbone, was president of the hospital at one time.
I think it's Carbone, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, it
and,
doesn't
Tom Ruhan
right.
was a thing. I believe Bonaccio was as well. So all these people are in the Chamber of Commerce. There's Nexus. Also, the publisher of Saratoga Today, which comes out every week and always has a positive story about the hospital.
Right.
And gives us a little mention, like one paragraph mention in there.
Okay.
Never has an opposition piece or a letter to the editor going against the hospital. And he's on the foundation or the board.
Sure.
And as I was saying before, there is a web page on the city website that gives a fact sheet about what the hospital wants to do. It doesn't tell you, for more info, contact their city planning department. And the link for the contact for questions about their fact sheet on the city's website, this is a citizen's City of Saratoga website, says contact the PR person, Rogers, at Saratoga Hospital.
That's and they don't goes. Put your website up there. For citizens,
we don't have another web page that gives the other opposing view.
But you do have a web page.
Yes.
And it's SaveMorganStreet.com.
Correct.
All right, SaveMorganStreet.com. And go there and just read some of their information.
It's more than just Birch Run. It is Morgan Street. It's a residential street.
Right.
The two of the properties are addressed as Morgan Street, number one, right. Morgan Street, and number 17. That's what DA
No, I just want to read something because we only have a couple minutes
and
to go.
Also, just one more quick thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about 20 additional acres. The hospital already has 30. That's going to give them 50 acres in the West to develop commercially. And they pay no taxes on this. They don't pay any county tax. They don't pay any city tax. They don't pay any school tax.
Right.
The only piece of property that I see paying taxes is that Herzog Saratoga Spine on the corner. They leased that property there, and that's the only tax property they have. Otherwise, they have 30 acres of property, 20 acres of it is parking lots, and only 10 of it is building. I think Angelo Carbone is like the Forrest Gump of flat
right.
parking lots.
Well, I don't
he
care.
Never saw a flat parking lot he didn't like. He says it's going to cost $10 million to build up. Yet he wants to destroy a neighborhood because he doesn't want to build up.
And not just a neighborhood, an area of
yes.
homes. But I feel that those 42 homes that they're going to build, apartment or whatever, should be taxed. I mean, I don't care whether it's hospital property or not. It should be taxed.
Well, Skidmore is taxed on some of their residences, and so is Wesley. And
well, no, hospitals I know, but what I'm saying is, and that may be fine, but I'm talking about this
right.
part
right.
of it. Yeah. I mean, you know, they shouldn't be tax exempt because doctors are living in there or they're part of hospital property. They're residences.
Well, they're going to claim that it's an educational institution.
And unless they give you tax-free where you don't have to pay taxes, I don't see why they should. I want to read one section before we go, and I want you to end it up with a short. This is what the hospital says in an article that was written. The hospital argues that the concerns of its residential neighborhoods or neighbors should be dismissed because thousands of patients of all ages from Saratoga Springs and the surrounding region, including the Birch Run community and beyond, will benefit from this latest investment, an investment in office space. Now, to me, to say that about the residences, to me, is so insulting that they should have been denied before. And I just want to make a comment that you said, Dennis. Chris Mathiesen, for whatever, however you felt of the man, he was on this show quite a few times. And the reason I had him on quite a few times is because he told you like it was. Whether you agreed with him or you disagreed with him. I mean, he wasn't afraid to give explanations of why he did something. So if he was against this, he was against it not only because his father lived in Birch Run, but because he was against the plan. And I I give him credit for not being for this as I do Joanne Yepsen. And I just have to put a plug in for Joanne. She is being honored by Hartwick College today. She's been given an award as one of its top alumni. So I want to congratulate her. So I want you to finish up with a comment.
Both of us?
You can just get it. We have about a minute to go, and go ahead.
Well, first of all, more than anything, I can't even tell you what this means to Dennis and I and all of us that are trying to do the right thing here. You've opened many new doors this morning for us, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it as time goes on. So not only do I thank you for inviting us, I just thank you for being such a good citizen. What a good guy you are.
Well, it's my honor having you here, believe me. And I, you know, I love you at the track. You and your husband are great people. Dennis, you have something?
Yes, I want to express the same sentiments. Thank you for the time, and thank the listeners for listening. And I hope that they do look into it. And I say trust but verify. Trust the hospital, but look into what we've said, the other half of the story. And I'm firmly convinced they're only telling you half the story, and that's why they're saying you can trust us. I hope people vote in the fall. They vote their conscience, and that's all we can ask for.
You know who I wish was still around? The gentleman on the radio, Harvey. Pat Harvey. And because he always gave the other side of the story.
Yeah.
And that was so great because you never knew the other half of the story. And there should be more men like him around on the airwaves or in the paper. So, hey, listeners, I want to thank you for being with us today. And next Saturday we have Robin Dalton on, who's vying for the position of Commissioner of Public Safety. So hopefully you'll be with us next Saturday. So have a great week. Enjoy the weather, and just be happy. Thank you.